You're listening to Diverse City Podcast. Please stay tuned to hear a powerful word. For giving or more church information, check us out at diversecity.church. Or to text to give, text DIVERSE to 73256. Thank you for listening and enjoy the word.
For the best Thanksgiving is to be able to give you praise. If we take a moment, church, to think about where God has brought us from this year, it deserves one hallelujah. It deserves one amen. It deserves one thank you, Jesus. So, Father, we just pray as we get ready to discuss your word, let what was being done on earth to be manifested as you've seen and designed in heaven. So, Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to be able to hear, see what thus saith the Lord. For all of the people of Diverse City, we give you praise and thanks. And all the church say amen. 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 While you're standing, or if you're not, as custom at Diverse City, if you could just stand for the reverence of the word. We got one verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. If everybody could, and just honor God as we read the word. We'll just take 1 minute to just read it together as one unified body of Christ. Then I'll remain standing and you can sit down. But if you got to get it out, go ahead and stand, run, jump, cartwheel, whatever it is. So here we are, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Just to remove any area of escape, I've searched through 30 different versions of this one passage to make sure we all get it. So we're going to all read them one at a time. I want you to say it with authority. I want you to say it with power. I want you to say it with conviction. One, two, three. Rejoice always. Always be joyful. Be joyful always. Rejoice evermore. Be cheerful no matter what. And last but not least, rejoice all times. Before you sit down, give 5 people a hug and say, are you hungry yet? Are you hungry yet? Amen, amen. Woo-hoo. 5 people. Amen. I feel expectation in the house today. I'm excited to be able to share 5 people and say, are you hungry yet? Amen. All right, you can sit down. Welcome to Surprise Sunday. Diverse City, make some noise. Here we are. Final installment of the It Factor, Surprise Sunday. We know we've given out a few gift cards and we got a few big ticket items at the end, so I'm going to be gracious with time. And if you can just give me 30 minutes, I promise God has something to be able to share with you today. So, Surprise Sunday, how did it start? We knew we wanted to teach on stewardship. If you have not been here for the last 4 weeks, this is something that we focused on. Stewardship. What does stewardship mean? It means to be an administrator. It means to be a manager. It means to be able to honor the gifts, the talents, and the ability. We got 2 babies sleep on the first row. Amen. We're still good. So week 1, we talked about the story of David. And we looked at his life before he became king. We were able to pull back and see his understanding and the gap between his anointing and his appointing to be king. Being able to maximize his gifts, his talents, and his resources to get ready for a new chapter in the season of his life. Then on week 2, we talked about the parable of the talents. Really, the point there was not to stress the quantity of your gifts, but the quality of your gifts. And when you have them, what are you going to do with it? we're responsible to be able to work it. And as we work it, God can put his super on our natural and multiply it to be able to be a blessing. Whether you only have 5 waffle fries and 2 chicken nuggets, if you put it in God's hand, he can do something special. Definitely if you got Chick-fil-A sauce. Hallelujah. Thank you. Sidebar, I tried to go to Popeye's Chicken yesterday to do round 2 of the spicy chicken sandwich. They were way behind. I said, you know what? I got to go back to God's house, and I went to Chick-fil-A. Anyway, never mind. All right, here we go. And then last week, we talked about real talk about giving. Really wanted to have an open discussion about tithes and offering and the reason why we give. Because giving is all about the heart. It's not about the value, but it's through our sacrifice and our commitment. Being able to get an understanding if it's an Old Testament thing, if a New Testament thing, and what does it mean to us in 2019 and as we go into 2020. And so looking at those 3 different areas, one of the things that came to me is that we kind of talked about the work, we talked about the heart, but today we want to focus on the mind of stewardship. So when it comes to Surprise Sunday, we just had a crazy idea. If we're going to do stewardship, let's see how much the community loves us. We drafted a letter and went to over 20 different companies and said, hey, we're having a community day. We support y'all. Y'all need to support us. And what you've been able to see is that Diverse City only sold about $100, and we're going to give out over $1,000 in gifts. So as you can see, we've only showed the 100. We got a few things behind door number 1 after we finish the sermon today, but it's going to be a great time to be able to recognize a few people. And then also for the parents that have kids in the kids ministry, we do have a bag of candy for each child with your consent. They're not eating it right now, I promise. And also we'd be able to have a sticker book. So something for us, just for us to be able to be a blessing to your household today. All right. So part 4, the title of today's message is called Prove It. Prove it. Prove that you believe in God. Prove that you want to be a steward. Prove that God is able to test you. And for us to get started, I got a small video to be able to set the atmosphere as far as where we're going today. Lights, camera. All right. Don't raise your hand, but most of us this week seen a new car that we wanted, walked, and would like to have a new bike. But right now, we're in the season, the time of the year where your pastor has to fight against discontentment. What am I talking about? Thanksgiving is more than just getting your food, your turkey, your mashed potatoes, your green beans, your sweet potato pie, pumpkin pie, red velvet cake, you name it. Whatever it is, discontentment. At the same time, this is my favorite time of the year, right? Even sinners take a few seconds to at least say thank you. We run into Thanksgiving, your boy loves to eat. Then we go into Christmas, because you can't celebrate Christmas without Christ. And then God is ushering us into a new decade. But starting tomorrow, or even for some of us, discontentment has already started to set in. Anybody besides me has received more mail in your mailbox this week, with magazines and books and ads. And you light your car, and then you see another car, and you're like, And you have your bike, and you say, you know what? I should get me a moped. And we become inundated with emails. And what I found out is that exposure and awareness brings discontentment in our life. No matter how saved we are, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, it all comes to our doorstep. But God is saying, will you prove it today? If you don't have money, stay out of Black Friday. The Black Friday becomes a Red Monday. Because sooner or later, the bill becomes due. I like my house, but I went in that mansion one day and I was like, Lord, did I miss you? Discontentment. I got two kids. Should I have one more? No, I'm good. I promise. Don't let that spirit come upon you. I want to travel. I want God to use me around the world. And then you start traveling and you're complaining about not being at home. Discontentment. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Always be joyful. Rejoice evermore. Be cheerful, not tearful, not complainful, no matter what. In all times, rejoice. So what is our ability to rejoice? What is our ability to be able to have joy? Truly, joy is not about what happens on the outside. What you get, what you don't get, what you eat, what you don't eat, what church you go to, the person that called you, didn't call you, but joy, a spirit of real rejoicing, comes on the inside. Philippians chapter 4, check this out. It says, always be full. Not by eating, but as we talked last week, God wants priority. Not exclusivity. Are we willing to get full of the things that God has called us to be in our life? Because if your tank is empty, if your tank is halfway, every measure that we leave open, this is the time when discontentment comes and try to take residence. It says, always be full of joy. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do, remembering the Lord is coming. So what do we see in this verse? God is saying, check your attitude. Which emoji recognize your attitude today? You all right? You love it? You're like, wow. Attitude. Attitude determines altitude. Attitude is not everything, but I would beg to differ to say it's the main thing. Attitude doesn't replace competency. It doesn't replace skill. But if you don't have the right attitude, the sustainment will rub you off. Volunteers at the church, we can teach you everything, any of the areas, but the one thing you got to have, your attitude got to be right. If your attitude's not right, be a grown-up, be accountable, and say, you know what, I can't serve today. I just need to worship. I need to get my heart back right in the place of thanksgiving. Attitude. It's not the main thing, but it's very important. And in verse 5, it says, let everyone see. I know you think your attitude is tight, but we should ask your neighbor. We should ask that person that cut you off this morning. Attitude. Attitude, how we celebrate God. Attitude, how we value people. Attitude, which determines which road, which response do we give people. Attitude, do you take the high road? That's treating people better than they treat you. Attitude, do we take the middle road? What you give me, I'll give you. Don't play me, I won't play you. Don't start nothing, won't be nothing. Attitude, the low road. You treat people worse than how they treat you. That's not a heart of thanksgiving. That's not a heart of rejoicing. Attitude. God, use me. God, I want more. Attitude. Is it your heart? Is it your mind? You got the degree. You got the money. You got the social capital. But your attitude, the way you're thinking, has to be checked at the door. Let me back up. I feel the resistance. Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. Oh, let's go to the next scripture. Turn, turn. Move fast. Here we go. Don't worry about anything. Look to your neighbor and say, don't worry about it. Instead, what do we need to do, church? Pray. I know it's old-fashioned. I know it can feel inconvenient. I know sometimes you pray and it feels like you send it up and it bounces off the walls and come back down. But here's the part that tripped me out. He said, tell God what you need. Is he the first person you go to when you got an issue? Is he the first person you run to when the situation comes? Or do you have to go online and allow everyone to weigh in? God is saying when situations pop off, when you want to worry, because what most of us do, we overestimate yesterday, we over-exaggerate tomorrow, and we underestimate today. You're making a big deal about stuff you can't change anymore, you're stressing about what's ahead, and you neglect what you can do right now. Can God be number one? In some of the situations, this is how God told me, is that we have a relationship mathematics problem. Check this out. God is saying, well, you need to be at the bottom. Come to me, and I will add and multiply in your life. But you're going to people that are subtracting. They taking energy from you, sapping the life out of you. You got no joy. You got no strength. You're trying to figure out what's going on. Consider the source. Or people that are dividing. You take one little issue like this, and as soon as you tell that person, look straight ahead, don't look to your neighbor, it becomes like this. And God is saying, below all of that subtracting and dividing people in your life, come to me. I'll show you how to add it. Come to me. I may send you to the right person, but you have to come to me first. Number one, uno. That's the only two languages I know. Anyway, Philippians chapter 4. Let's go to verse number 9. Because if you don't give it to God, if we don't make him number one, you can't claim this. Then you will experience God's peace. If you're missing peace, it's because he's not number one. If you're missing peace, it's because you've lost your joy. But in service today, this is your time to recalibrate. Experience God's peace. Because what does it do? It exceeds anything you can understand. In our finite mind, that most of us at the mats use 10% based on studies, God is saying he can do exceeding, he can do abundantly, he can do above all that you can ever ask or think according to his power that works in you. It's not working if there's no joy. It's not working if it's full with contentment. It's not worry if you got antsy feet trying to figure out what's going on, what's next, what can I do? God is trying to tell us to take responsibility for your own joy. A little quiet, I promise I'll be nice, and I have a bite coming, so be good. Here we go, verse number 8. And now, dear brothers and sister, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. That's an action verb. That means he's not going to do it for you. He said, you need to fix your thoughts on what? What is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, and what is admirable. Think about these things in the excellence and worthy of praise. All of us, every day, not just a Sunday, have a reason to be able to give his praise if we're able to fix our thoughts. It talks about us being able to feel our minds. It's talking about us to not only just feel, but being able to meditate on those things. When someone tries to send you another way, you go back to your feeling versus being reactionary. And we have to be able to practice good works. I got a story. So check this out. Everybody listening. I need you to listen because this is going to apply to you. So there were two men that went to work on a construction site. It was Thursday, and it was time for lunch. It's been a long week working 10, 12, and even 14-hour days. One guy goes and gets his lunch, and he sits down, and he's opening it. He said, dang it, tuna fish sandwich again for the fourth day in a row. I can't stand tuna fish. Gosh. And so his friend goes, yo, what's going on? You all right? You cool? And he said, tuna fish sandwich for the fourth day in a row. Well, you know what? It's going to be all right. Understand that you have something to eat. Matter of fact, you should go home and talk to your wife and tell her don't make you any more tuna fish sandwich. And the guy said, leave my wife out of it. I make my own lunch. How many of us are making tuna fish sandwiches and complaining about it? If it's not tuna fish, turkey, ham, bologna, whatever your thing is, you're making it and you're complaining about it. And you've upgraded, you've added lettuce and tomatoes, and you're still complaining about it. Or for my vegans, avocado, hallelujah, whatever. You made it. And God has given you the ability to change it. And you're complaining about it. A tuna fish sandwich. What are the situations in your life that you're complaining about today, but at one time you were grateful for it? Reminds me of the children of Israel that were in bondage. They were in slavery. They were receiving pennies on $100 and said, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we need a breakthrough. Lord, we need you to do something for us. And God brought them out. But as time passed, a situation occurred. Hold that thought. Number 9, it says, keep putting into practice all the things you have learned and received and everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then God will give you peace. I've come to the point that most of us are smarter than our level of obedience. I'll be the first to raise my hand and say, I know way more than I apply. Tuna fish sandwich, turkey sandwich, quote the recipe, yep. And what God is trying to say, I'm not sure if you've seen, I did a post this week, or actually yesterday, of a man that started his own business. He was autistic. Nobody would hire him. And he created his own business. What's your excuse? What has God told you to put into practice and you're applying for? And God said, create it. Your dream job, it may not be from your current employer. It may be from you working for a season on your dream and your job until you see manifestation. The children of Israel, after God has shown his power, after God has been able to show he's able to deliver them, complaining about the pennies on the dollar. God is sending manna for some of us every day. And we begin to complain and complain and complain. You didn't even work for it. You didn't even earn it. And God has given us certain gifts and has thrown us out of pocket. Verse 17, back to Thessalonians. It says to pray without ceasing. Now, I'll be honest, this verse kind of tripped me for a minute. I thought God just wanted me to quit my job. I thought God just wanted me to just spend time with him and become a monk. And he said, if you do, you'll get a lot of riches in heaven, but it's going to be a struggle on earth. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? It means to always to be in position. It means to always to be ready to be used and influenced by him. But you can't do it if you don't start with verse 16. rejoicing, us being able to fill ourselves to the full and to the overflow, praying without ceasing, not to go at work and just praying and speaking in tongues, but if someone calls upon you and say, who is Jesus to you and why do you go to diverse city, can you give a response? Can you say, I love God and I'm giving him praise and thanksgiving because of this, because of that, he brought me out of this, he left me from that, and he has been able to show me his mighty hand. Grateful is required. If we look at how we spent our week, did you grumble more? Were you grumbling or were you grateful? Were you thanking him or were you complaining? Because when we are grateful, it becomes a magnet to draw us close to him. But when we grumble, God, you feel so far away. What you been talking about? Who you been talking to? What you been looking at? Who you allowing to look at you? Grateful. I don't have it all, but I'm still grateful. Thank God I'm not where I used to be, but I'm better. You've shown yourself to be better to me than I've been to myself. That is a heart of gratitude. That is a heart of thanksgiving, and that's how we're able to reposition ourselves. I got 99 problems, but my gratefulness ain't one. Sorry. I'm a frustrated rapper, forgive me. Move on. Here we go. So I jumped ahead of myself. Check this out. These are the people of Israel. After seeing God part the Red Seas, after seeing God taking a rock and bringing out water, after seeing God dropping cornflakes day by day, after seeing God doing great and mighty works, look at these people. It says, then the whole community began to weeping out loud, and they cried all night. They said, God, he hates us. God is frustrated with us. And it says, their voices rose like a great chorus. How horrible is our God? Sing with me, how horrible is our God? And all will cry, how horrible. You don't deserve it. Never mind. As a choir, and Moses and Aaron is like, what? If we only would die in Egypt. We prefer to stay in bondage. We prefer to not to be free. We prefer to complain and stay in the place of discontentment. We prefer to not to be stewards. We prefer to take this week and complain and be mad because we got to work Wednesday and be mad because we got to cook and spend time with family and be mad and complain. There are people in here that wish their parents were with them this week. There are people in here that would love to be right where you are. Whether they're in the sanctuary, whether they're in the city. It was very interesting this morning. I was very touched going to get me a granola bar, and I saw a lady walk in the store and come out and give this man coffee and something to eat. And I said, man, that's a heart of thanksgiving. That's a heart that all of us are called to embody. But what happens for most of us, we have issues between the seed and the manifestation, and the Bible calls it the trial of our faith. The test of our faith, the trial of our faith, the temptation of our faith. The Bible gives multiple examples, such as Abraham, 76 years old. You're going to have a baby. You're going to be a father of many nations. And the trial of his faith took 24 years to be able to see it. Noah, everybody was like, yo, what you doing? You making a boat? It haven't rained in a few years. The trial of his faith. Without Noah, where would the world be today? What is the trial of faith in your life? What is the thing that God spoke to you in the seed form and you forgot to fill yourself up? You forgot to rejoice. You forgot to water the seed to be able to see the full manifestation. You've complained. We grumbled. And that's something that I've struggled with. I truly believe, listen, you're guilty until you're proven innocent. My mind immediately goes negative. And most of us have to be able to counterbalance that, to be able to put our mind on Christ and be able to see things, to be able to see people through his lens and what he says about them. Not based on how they treated you, because we're going to take the high road, definitely not the low road. So if you get bad service today at lunch, how are you going to tip them? You going to give them the high road? You going to give them the middle road? Or you going to let them know you better step your game up next time I come? Are you grateful? Or are you going to complain? Trial of faith. Daniel got put in the lion's den. He didn't do nothing wrong. And the Bible talks about him continuing in his ways, going into the lion's den three times a day. Lord, I thank you that you are over this situation. Lord, I thank you that everything's going to be okay. But I wonder if he complained, who would be the first lion to get that bite of him? But that just doesn't happen overnight. Back that thing up, it says in Daniel chapter 1, when other people were eating the fatted calf, the turkey, the pork chop, the ribs, the mac and cheese with six layers, he decided to say thanksgiving with vegetables and fruit. And he says, I see with the opportunity that man has given me, but I choose to go through the path. I choose to take the door of joy and not happiness. I am so grateful that Jesus didn't just take his trial of faith and stop with the 39 lashes. I am so grateful that Jesus didn't stop in the Garden of Gethsemane when he began to sweat and blood began to come out of his head. I am so grateful that he didn't give up until he got to the cross. And for his last words, he could have complained, he could have said one word, and everybody in sight would have died. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. The trial of your faith. Next. What we got next? I forgot. Thanks. I did a quote this morning. God dropped it in my spirit. What if the difference between your test and your testimony is your ability to give thanks? What if you're sitting in the middle of your wilderness and it's supposed to be an 11-day journey, but you decided to complain and now you're sitting for 40 years? You forgot to give thanks. God is trying to get you to the other side, but you're sitting there. God is trying to say thanks. Thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the things that you have done. The Bible talks about thanks being in the scriptures over 100 times, but the part that gets me is that over 2/3 of the time thanks is mentioned in the Bible, it says to give thanks. It's not enough to just be thankful in your heart, but you need to be able to give thanks by your actions, by your words, by your deeds. And when we look at the life of David, yes, he slipped up into adultery. Yes, he made a lot of mistakes, but the book in the Bible that used the word thanks more than any other is the book of Psalms. I believe when the Bible talks about David being a man after God's own heart, it's predicated on his ability to say thank you. God is not looking for perfection in your life, but he's looking for effort. He's looking for a repentant heart. He's looking for someone that's willing to fall down, but through their thanksgiving, that test quickly becomes a testimony. That test, number two, becomes testimony number three. And while we can sit here as a church and figure out why there's no revival, why there's no power, God is saying, but we're not saying thank you. Give thanks, church. Hallelujah. In verse number 18, in everything, give thanks. Why? Because for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for your life. Your house burned down. You got fired on the job. Somebody you know got cancer. It started to snow and you ain't got a snow scraper. Not for everything, but in everything. That means despite my circumstances, despite my situations, as long as I know that God is with me, I got a reason to give thanks. Thank you, Jehoshaphat. The Bible talks about in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, during this time is being ready to be attacked by three different armies. Oh man, what does he do? He said, Judah, get over here. We're gonna call a fast. We're gonna get on our knees and we're gonna say thanks to our God for being our healer. I know the situation looks rough right now, but I'm gonna give him thanks. And the Bible says, as they begin to give thanks, the enemies were coming close to get ready to attack them, and they got so confused in the midst of praise that they killed themselves. There are some battles you're trying to prep for, working on your sword, pulling out your piece, all of these things that you're trying to do on your own. God is saying, I'll fight this. But you have to do it through giving thanks. There are spoils available for you on the other side of Thanksgiving. But if you're going to do your way, it's going to cost you a lot of time, it's going to cost you a lot of money, and you're going to waste seasons, years of your life if we don't give him thanks. Paul and Silas, Acts chapter 16, what did they do when they got in jail? Begin to praise and worship. Not to complain, not to grumble, not to get upset, but they begin to lift their hands. And the things that were trapping them, the things that were putting in shackles on their feet begin to loose because of thanks. Ask Moses' mother. There are many people in here and saying, Lord, how am I going to raise my child? I don't know what to do. Moses' mother was under attack. They wanted to kill all of the males. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, put your son in this little basket, and we're going to go right down the stream. And the Egypt queen was able to find baby Moses. And by the time, just because queens have a lot of work to do, Moses' mother was the one that got to raise her own child, and she got paid for it. Anybody want to be a stay-at-home mom and get paid for it anyway? That was weak. Y'all tripping. No, I'm a career woman. Never mind. Thanks. Joseph, with a dream. What did he do when he got put and sold into slavery? Did he complain? Did he get to work? Or he began to thanks and become a good steward over his life? Then he became to Potiphar's house. And having a woman trying to have an affair with him, he didn't complain, he continued to work. He went to prison and same with that same attitude, that same tenacity to be able to give thanks. And what the enemy had for bad, God manifested his dreams, but he didn't stay in the midst of his trial of faith. When the test came, he said, I'm gonna give him thanks. And on the other side, there's a testimony. Esther, I know you're fine. You got it all together. You're going to win the beauty pageant, but the trial of faith is coming on your life. I need you to go speak to my man and through your thanksgiving and calling a fast behind all the people, you're going to be used as a deliverer. You were beautiful. They would have stopped talking about you, but here we are, 2019 years later, still talking about her because of her honor, her praise, her reverence to thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. What will you choose? To complain? To go into the spirit of discontentment? Or will you begin to rejoice? Will you begin to give him honor? Will you begin to repent? Will you begin to give him praise in this season? Get your mind off the turkey. Get your mind off your day off. But are we going to keep the main thing, the main thing? Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 4. And it says, "And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, and make known," check this out, "make known his deeds among the people. Proclaim his name is exalted." What has God brought you from? What has God has been able to deliver you from? And the things that he's been able to bring you from, are you giving thanksgiving? Are you telling others about it? Your testimony is more powerful than the cure of cancer. Your testimony is better than hitting the lottery. We're talking about eternity. Thanksgiving is the only holiday we take into heaven. Praise and worship. But there are so many stories of wonderful people about what God has been able to do, and you've become selfish, and you held it on. I'm challenging everyone this week. When you get ready to eat your food, and Uncle Billy, Uncle Willie, whatever his name is, ready to eat, you slap the fork out of his hand, and you say, "We're going to take a moment right now and give thanks. We're going to take a moment right now and honor God for the things that he's done to us. You're going to take a moment to look around the table and give praise and adoration because they're still here. You're going to take a moment to share your story. You're going to take a moment while others are trying to get full in the belly. You're going to share your story of thanksgiving to fill their spirit. What if somebody's salvation depends on your story? Your salvation, their salvation depends on your story. One of my favorite things is to meet with people. I know I'm able to help and give counseling, but my favorite part is to be able to hear their stories. I can empathize of what's going on, or God makes me aware of his wonderful power that he's able to do. Diversity is beyond the color. Diversity is beyond the numbers. But it's the diversity of God snatching us out and sharing our story. Stand to your feet, church. Say thank you, Jesus, if you received something out of the word today. That was only 60%. Wake up. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For blessing me.
Thank you, Lord.
For keeping me.
Thank you, Lord.
For protecting me.
This week,
I will
prove it.
By giving you praise.
By giving you glory.
And giving you honor. Bow your heads, church. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you, Lord, while there were people that didn't come home last night, you've protected us. We thank you, Lord, for being able to keep us. And while some came to get a surprise through a gift, the real surprise is for you revealing yourself, by you becoming a deliverer. Lord, I pray that your gifts, your power, your anointing to be dispersed in this sanctuary. I remove all fear for those that are afraid to tell their story. I remove all doubt that are for those that are sitting in the midst of their trial. And the devil has come to tell them, just come back to Egypt. If you come back, we'll take the target off your back. And for some of us that are waiting to be delivered, my prayer today is that you will be strengthened to go for it. You will be strengthened and empowered and equipped to encourage and to evangelize to others. People, I pray in the name of Jesus that we do not give up, that we will not go faint, that we will not get weary in well-doing. So, Lord, I pray for the seeds, the promises that you have spoken, that it begins to cultivate through our praise and as we rejoice in you. So, Father, we pray right now, there are those that are sitting dormant, for those that are saying, I don't even have the gift of Jesus. I don't even know who you are, or I need to make a recommitment because I've been complaining more than I've been worshiping. I've been grumbling more than I've given thanks. And if that is you, I'm going to ask for you to raise your hand. You will not have to come forward, but I want to see those that were willing to testify that today is going to change.